Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really zeroing in on something specific to help you out, especially if you're gearing up for the ACCA financial reporting exam, say, between September 2025 and June 2026.
Yeah, that window.
You sent us some great materials for Chapter 9 government grants. We've got bits from the syllabus, the study guide, and this really clear visual overview for the chapter.
That's right. And our job today is basically to unpack these for you, pull out the, you know, the absolute must-know stuff for Chapter 9.
Think of it like a focused revision session.
Exactly. Tailored just for you, using the stuff you're actually studying from.
Okay. So FR, financial reporting. It definitely steps up from financial accounting, doesn't it?
It does. You get deeper into how companies actually apply the rules, like IFRS accounting standards, and how it all connects back to the bigger picture, the theory.
The conceptual framework.
Precisely. Yeah. And Chapter 9 slots right into syllabus section B. Accounting for transactions and financial statements. So really practical stuff. How does getting help from the government actually show up in the numbers?
Right. So where should we kick off? The why, maybe. Why do we even need a special standard for how governments interact with companies?
Good question. That visual overview you sent, it gives us a really neat starting point.
Okay.
The main goal, it says, is to account for the transfer of resources from government. It's about showing how the company actually benefits.
Showing the benefit. Why is that the focus?
Well, imagine if everyone accounted for it differently. How could, say, an investor compare company A that got a big grant with company B that didn't?
It'd be chaos.
Exactly. So the standard, it aims for consistency. Comparability over time is huge. You need to see the impact this year versus last year and how this company stacks up against others getting similar support.
Comparability. Always comes back to that in financial reporting, doesn't it?
It really does.
So it's not just we got cash. It's about reflecting the economic substance of that support. And the rule book for this is IAS 20.
IAS 20, that's the one. Full title. Accounting for Government Grants and Disclosure of Government Assistance.
Quite a mouthful.
It is. But the visual overview flags that it sets the scope, defines the terms. You really need to get the language right first.
Understand the jargon before you apply the rules. Makes sense.
Totally.
Okay, let's get into those rules then. Based on the sources, the visual overview, the study guide B11A, what's the absolute core for accounting for government grants specifically?
The absolute starting point, the real gatekeeper, is recognition criteria.
Yeah.
You can't just stick a grant in the accounts the moment you hear you might get it. There are conditions. And that study guide outcome, B11A, it specifically says you need to apply these principles.
Apply them. How? What are we applying?
Okay, so IAS 20 says grants shouldn't be recognized until there's reasonable assurance.
Reasonable assurance. That phrase again, it crops up everywhere.
It does. And it means you need reasonable assurance on two things. One, the entity will actually comply with any conditions attached to the grant.
Ah, the strings attached.
Exactly. And two, that the grant will actually be received. You need confidence in both.
So it's not like guaranteed, but pretty likely, a high probability.
That's a good way to put it. High probability, not absolute certainty. Think about it. The government gives you cash, maybe an asset, but they usually want something back, right?
Like creating jobs or building in a certain area.
Yeah, or maybe operating for a certain number of years. Until you're reasonably sure you can meet their side of the deal, you haven't really earned that grant in accounting terms.
Okay, that clicks. You've got to be pretty confident you can deliver. So let's say you do have that reasonable assurance, the grant comes through. What next? How does it hit the books?
Right. Well, it depends a bit on what the grant is for. Is it related to an asset, like money specifically to buy equipment or a building?
Okay, yeah.
If it is, you generally have two choices for presentation. One is to deduct the grant straight from the carrying amount of the asset.
So the asset shows up on the balance sheet at a lower value.
Correct. Or the second option is to treat the grant as deferred income.
Like a liability.
Sort of, yeah. It's shown as deferred income. And then you recognize it in profit or loss over the useful life of the asset you bought.
Ah, so either way, the benefit is spread over the asset's life.
Exactly. Both methods aim to match the grant income with the periods when the asset is being used or depreciated. The idea is the benefit isn't just a one-off hit when the cash lands.
Okay, that makes sense for assets. What if the grant is related to income? Maybe covering expenses you've already paid.
Good question. These are often grants to help with costs already incurred or just general support not tied to a specific long-term asset.
Right.
Again, IAS 20 generally gives you two ways to present these. You can show them as a credit in the profit or loss statement, often under other income.
Makes sense. Income grant shows up as income.
Or the other way is to deduct the grant directly from the related expense.
Deduct it from the expense. So if you got a grant for R&D, you just report lower R&D costs.
You could, yes. That's the netting approach. The logic is the grant effectively just reduces your net cost.
But wouldn't showing it as separate income be clearer so you can see the gross expense?
Many would argue yes, and the standard allows both. Showing it separately is arguably more transparent. It doesn't sort of hide the gross expense. Whichever way you go, consistency is key, and you absolutely have to disclose your policy.
Right, disclosure.
But the main point for income grants is the benefit is usually recognized when the expense happens or when you meet the conditions for getting the immediate support.
Okay, got it. So recognition timing depends on conditions, and presentation depends on asset versus income nature. The visual overview also flags things like forgivable loans. Where do they fit?
Yes, forgivable loans. They're treated as a government grant if there's reasonable assurance the company will meet the terms for forgiveness.
That reasonable assurance point again.
Always. If you're reasonably sure you won't have to pay it back because you'll meet the conditions, then you account for the amount you expect to be forgiven, just like any other grant, using those principles we just talked about.
And if you're not reasonably sure,
then it stays as a loan, a liability, until it's actually forgiven or until you become reasonably assured.
Makes sense. It hangs on whether you really expect to repay. What about non-monetary grants, like the government gives you land instead of cash?
Yep, IAS 20 covers those. Things like land, buildings, equipment given directly, you usually count for these at their fair value.
Fair value, market value.
Pretty much, yeah. You figure out the fair value of the asset you received, then you apply the same recognition rules, reasonable assurance you'll meet conditions.
Okay.
Once you recognize it, the asset itself is accounted for under its own standard, like IAS 16 for property, plant, and equipment, and the grant part follows the rules for asset-related grants we mentioned.
So deduct from the asset cost or set up deferred income.
Exactly. Those two options. It all comes back to those core principles in B11A.
Right. So, okay, you've recognized it, presented it.
Yeah.
What if things go wrong? You fail a condition later on and have to pay the grant back.
Repayment? Yeah, that happens. It's treated as a change in accounting estimate.
Not an error.
Not usually, unless the original accounting was just plain wrong. It's usually because circumstances changed. Now, if it was an income grant that becomes repayable,
yes,
you recognize the repayment as an expense straight to the profit or loss statement. In the period, it becomes repayable.
Immediately hits the P&L.
Okay.
And if it was an asset grant?
For an asset grant repayment, you first adjust the balance sheet. If you originally deducted the grant from the asset's cost, you add the repayment amount back to the asset's carrying amount.
Increases the asset value again.
Right. Or if you treated it as deferred income, you reduce the remaining deferred income balance first.
And what if the repayment is more than the remaining deferred income or makes the asset carrying amount adjustment weird?
Good point. Any part of the repayment that can't be dealt with by adjusting the deferred income balance or the asset's carrying amount does get recognized immediately as an expense in profit or loss.
Ah, okay. So the basic idea for repayment is reverse the original treatment. P&L hits straight away for income grants, but balance sheet adjustment first for asset grants, with any excess hitting P&L.
You've got it. It effectively reverses the benefit you previously recognized, hitting the period where you failed the conditions.
Okay, that covers government grants pretty thoroughly. But IAS 20 and that visual overview also talks about government assistance. That's different.
Yes, and it's a really important distinction, especially for the exam. Assistance is a broader concept.
Broader how?
It's basically any action by government designed to give an economic benefit to a specific company or group of companies. But crucially, it doesn't necessarily involve a direct transfer of resources like cash or assets.
So less about handing over money, more about helping out in other ways.
Exactly. Think about the examples. The visual overview gives free technical advice, maybe help accessing certain markets, government guarantees on loans.
Things that are definitely beneficial, but hard to put a number on.
Precisely. There's no obvious debit cash, credit grant, income transaction to record for free advice.
So how does IAS 20 handle that kind of help if you can't really recognize a value?
Primarily through disclosure.
Just telling people about it in the notes to the accounts?
Essentially, yes. If the assistance received has been significant and beneficial, you need to disclose the nature of it, the extent, the conditions, maybe. It gives context to the users of the financial statements.
So you're letting investors know about this favorable setup the government's providing, even if you can't stick a precise value on the help itself.
That's the idea. But there is one specific type of assistance mentioned in the overview that does bridge the gap and involve a financial measurement.
Which one?
Loans at nil or low interest rates.
Okay, how is that different? It's a loan. Surely that's a resource transfer. You get cash.
You do get cash, yes. But the assistance part isn't the loan principal itself. That's just a liability you normally expect to repay. The assistance, the benefit, is the fact you're borrowing money much cheaper than you could commercially.
Ah, right. If the market rate, say, 5%, and the government lends to you at 0%.
You're saving a ton on interest costs. That's a real economic benefit.
Okay, I get that. The benefit is the interest you don't have to pay.
Exactly. And that benefit is measurable. Under IFRS, when you get a loan like this, at below market rates, you initially recognize the loan at its fair value.
Fair value again. How do you work that out for a loan?
Usually it's the present value of all the future cash flows, the principal repayments, any low interest payments you do make discounted back using the market interest rate, the rate you would have paid for a similar loan from a bank.
So you value the loan as if it were a normal commercial loan.
Pretty much. And here's the clever bit. The difference between the actual cash you received, the face value of the loan, and this calculated fair value.
Yes.
That difference represents the immediate financial benefit, the subsidy. And that difference is treated as a government grant.
Ah, so it gets accounted for using the grant rules we already discussed.
Precisely. Recognized in P&L straight away if it compensates for past expenses, or maybe deferred and recognized over the life of the loan if it's linked to future activities or asset purchase.
Okay, that's a really neat insight. With a low-interest loan, IAS 20 basically makes you split it. Part liability, recognized at fair value, and the discount element treated as a grant.
Yeah, it's how the standard captures the real economic substance of that government help.
It really shows IAS 20 isn't just about obvious cash payments, is it? It makes companies think harder about the true value of all sorts of government interaction.
Definitely, the economic substance over the legal form.
Right. Okay, let's pull this back specifically to your goal.
Yeah.
Passing that FR exam using these materials you sent over.
Yeah, good idea. So this whole topic, Chapter 9, Government Grants and Assistance, absolutely examinable. It's right there, B11 in the study guide.
And we saw earlier that specific part, B11A,
yeah,
about applying the recognition principles. It had that little 2 next to it in the guide. That's significant.
Very. That 2, according to the guide's own section on intellectual levels, means application and analysis. Level 2.
Meaning they won't just ask for a definition of a grant or list the presentation options.
Exactly. That's level 1, just knowing stuff. Level 2 means you have to use the rules in a scenario. They might give you a short story about a company getting a grant with some conditions.
And you have to figure out if they can recognize it yet and how.
Precisely. Or maybe a scenario with one of those low interest loans, and you'd need to calculate that initial grant element and explain the accounting. It's about taking the facts they give you and applying the IAS 20 principles correctly.
Which makes perfect sense for FR. It's all about applying standards to, well, not quite real life, but realistic company situations.
And don't forget the practical side. Section E of the syllabus and Section 7 and 9 in the guide hammer home that FR is a computer-based exam, a CBE.
Right, the software.
Yeah. You need to show you can use the tools which mimic spreadsheets and word processors. Employability skills, they call it.
So when you're practicing IAS 20 questions, don't just scribble the answer on paper.
Please don't. Practice actually constructing your answer, the calculations, the explanations, any financial statement extracts using the CDE software. Get comfortable with it.
How you lay it out matters.
It does. Being able to apply the knowledge effectively includes presenting it clearly using the available tools. Section 7 in the guide really stresses understanding the principles behind standards like IAS 20, not just memorizing rules. It's the why and the how.
Okay, that's clear. So given that need for application, what's the best way for you, the listener, to use these specific sources for this chapter?
I'd say really grasp the flow shown in that visual overview. Objective first, then the big split, grants versus assistance. Then drill down into the rules for each recognition, measurement, presentation, disclosure, repayment.
Use the overview for structure.
Yes, and use the study guide, especially B11A, to understand the depth needed for that level 2 application. And then practice questions.
Ones that give you scenarios.
Definitely. And do that practice in the CBE environment. That's crucial.
Okay, let's try and wrap this deep dive up then. Let's summarize the absolute core ideas we've pulled from your sources on Chapter 9.
Okay. We saw the main objective of IS-20 is showing the benefit of government transfers fairly and consistently. Comparability is key.
And the big distinction between grants direct resource transfers, needing reasonable assurance for recognition.
And assistance, which is broader, often non-financial help, mainly needing disclosure.
Right. For grants, we covered the recognition timing tied to conditions, the presentation choices for asset grants versus income grants, and how repayments reverse the original treatment, remembering that's all part of applying B11A.
And for assistance, while mostly about disclosure, we flag that specific case of low-interest loans where the financial benefit is measured, essentially carved out and treated like a grant.
And finally, we linked it all back to the FR exam. Chapter 9 is on the cards. It's level 2 application and analysis, so you need to work through scenarios.
And get comfortable doing that within the CBE software, using the tools effectively. Understanding the principles is way more important than rote learning.
Absolutely. Nailing these principles, being able to apply them confidently, that's got to be critical for doing well in FR.
No doubt about it.
Okay, and just a final thought for you to chew on as we finish up. Think about those accounting choices IAS 20 allows, like presenting an income grant separately versus netting it off against an expense, or the choice for asset grants. Why might a company choose one over the other? Could it make their reported profit look slightly different, or maybe affect how their balance sheet looks? Considering that the potential impact of choices helps you look behind the numbers, and that's a skill valuable way beyond just exam day.